Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
Will the children join me? And Sophie? Anybody else? Because I'm going to need some help today. I want to tell y'all about a really wonderful afternoon this past Monday. It was golden. The sun was just shining and shining. And I was in a secret garden with two of my friends. And all three of us had just a wondrous moment. But they were all different. Because just like God calls each of us by name, God also gives each of us different gifts, different moments. All at the same time. The friends I was with this afternoon were Flash, my dog, and my friend Sarah. Sarah has been my friend for a long time, and we're even married to cousins. Anybody got cousins? Yeah. Anybody out there got cousins? It's so nice when cousins marry people you end up wanting to be friends with. And that's what happened to us. Well, that afternoon, we all three had abundant life moments. And Flash's was that he got half a hot dog. He is in hot dog heaven. Whenever we go over to Sarah's secret garden, because she always chops up half a hot dog in just Flash-sized pieces, and she feeds it to him all afternoon. So not only is he eating it, but he's also thinking, in a couple of minutes, I'm gonna get another piece of hot dog. And he loved that. So that was Flash's special moment. Sarah was having a fullness of life moment, too. I'm going to have to get out my iPhone for y'all to hear that one. Flash and I, she loves to share her garden, and it's a beautiful garden. And it always makes things good when you can share stuff you love. In the middle of her garden is the weirdest thing. It is a great big, bigger than all of y'all stretched out end to end, stone turtle. And I say to her every time, not because I forget, but because she likes to tell the story, I say, why do you have a huge stone turtle in the middle of your garden? And she says, because American Indians believe that the whole world rests and rides on the back of a turtle. So that's what her garden rests on. She knows about American Indians because when she was older than any of your mommies, any of them, I don't care how old you are, she said to herself, I want to learn something new. And she went out to Emory University and she took courses and she got a PhD, and now she teaches other people and is writing her second book, which is used in colleges and by folks all over the world, about Native American women, mamas, and how they worked and how they passed on tradition and what they cooked, and she knows stuff that she passes on. So she was having a wonderful afternoon, and then something even more special happened. I'm going to see if y'all can recognize what this is. So close. It's a red-tailed hawk. And this, that's the thing about this hawk. He hangs around Sarah all the time. When we walk, that hawk is circling her. I'm not kidding. He loves Sarah, and he calls to her all the time. She just loves him. And then when we go and sit in her garden, he goes and sits in a tree nearby. They are best, well, not maybe best friends, but they are close friends. A red-tailed hawk and Sarah. So it was a special moment because he flew over and just kind of hung out with us and called that call. Now, I personally, because everybody has their different special things they love and special moments, and God calls us each by name and gives us abundant life each in different ways, I'm not big on the red-tailed hawk. Because he likes to eat little baby birds. That's just the way red-tailed hawks feed themselves. So for Sarah, he's beautiful and strong. And for me, I'm thinking, he's looking for a baby bird. Or maybe Flash. That wouldn't work. Now me, I'm having a whole different kind of wonderful moment. And that's what Sophie has in her little gift box. Can people see what these are, guys? What are these? They're flowers. And what I'm doing is smelling a smell that came in my bedroom window when I was just exactly your age. I'd be going to sleep at night just this time of year, and it would just sort of waft in. It would just roll in this wonderful smell, and it got all mixed up with my dreams and with my happiness of being in my bed and with the beauty of summer coming where you go barefoot and you're out of school. So I brought these today. They're jasmine. They're a funny jasmine. They're not the white that crawled up to the second story of our house. They're not the yellow of the Carolina jasmine, which really often don't have any scent to them. They're a mixed up wondrous jasmine, creamy and fragrant, and always there in the back of my mind. So today, Sophie and I brought some out for you from Sarah's garden. She picked them just for you this morning. And what I'd love is for each of you to take one or two and take it back to maybe your mama. And also along the way, pick somebody you don't even know and give them a scent of summer, gift of what's to come. Can you do that? One for your mama and one for a stranger. Okay. And when you get your two, remember to drop one off to somebody you don't know. When you get your two, or maybe your mommy will help you do that, you can go back to your seat. I'll put the rest up here by the altar, and I hope they'll flavor our Eucharist. I think they smell like fairy tale ladies. There you go. One for your mommy and one for a stranger. because that's the way the gifts of God go. Now, there's a backstory. Thank you all. Somebody doesn't like Jasmine. There you go. There's a backstory to this wonderful gospel, to this abundant life gospel. Just like, Sophie, you're in the middle of a backstory right now because you're graduating, right? Yeah. So there's always something going on behind the wonderful things and also behind the things that aren't so wonderful. So today, there is a backstory. And Jesus doesn't just start off waking up in the morning, smelling jasmine, seeing his best friend in the sky, and eating hot dogs. He has had a really tough day. What Jesus was doing before he came out with this abundant life, I came so that you might have life abundant, was he just healed a blind man. You know this story. There was a man born blind, right? You know that one. And Jesus goes by and says, "What do you want?" And he said, "I'd love to see." And Jesus says, "Okay." Spits on the ground, makes a poultice, most unlikely healing thing in the world, and puts it on the man's eyes. Now, isn't that wonderful? Because then the man could see out of nowhere. He can see. But guess what happened? And this is the backstory. So, ooh, man, what are you doing here? This is the backstory. Even when wondrous moments are happening, nobody liked the change except the guy. His church said, "Well, wait a minute, you're blind. That's who you're supposed to be. Well, wait a minute, I think you're a fake. I don't even think you are that blind guy." And the guy is saying, "Whoa, I once was blind and now I see. And that's great, isn't it?" His family, when called to vouch for him, said, "I don't know anything about it," because they were afraid of getting kicked out of the synagogue. "Ask him. He is of age." That is what Jesus just came from. From a community and a family that kicked someone out because they didn't want to see, experience, be threatened by new life, new gifts, new vision. This is a small example. It happened in my life. My father loved the Episcopal Church. He was orphaned at 15 or 16. And the University of the South, SWANE, which is the epitome of the Episcopal Church, became family for him. He loved the Episcopal Church, though he dutifully went Presbyterian because that's what my mama and all her family did. So when I decided to enter the discernment process for priesthood, which is what Joshua is just coming out of and going to be ordained in June, when I decided to enter that, I took a walk with my father, and I just couldn't wait to tell him what I was called to do. And you know what the first thing was that came out of his mouth? He said, "Don't tell your mother." "It'll make her sick." It was rough. It took us some years. He was a specialist in writing letters. It took a few letters to get us past that. And of course, when you move into your new vision, into your new moment, into your new abundance of life, things rearrange. There wasn't anybody in the world prouder of me than my mother and my father. But somehow I had to claim the backstory of new moments, new life, new vision, is nobody claims it for you. You got to do it yourself. I want to add that in this parish, I have learned more than I have ever before in my life and in my priesthood about what happens when people don't say no, but say yes. You have shown me what it means to be people who say yes, yes, yes to new vision, new life, new abundance. That's your backstory. Live it out. Amen.
Amen.